Welcome back, Hemingway listeners, to the Hemingway List late edition. A good 12 hours late. Sorry about that. I went to a friend's place last night and then accidentally drank too much to drive home, so I couldn't get home. And then I came home this morning thinking, oh, I've got to do the podcast as soon as I get home. And I got home and I just forgot, and I did like 3 hours of gardening. Like, oh, I got nothing to do today. Nice Saturday morning. And yeah, and then it just struck me. I was like, wait a minute. Wasn't there something I had to do as soon as I got home? So here I am, humbly apologizing for the lateness. Anna Karenina, Part 7, Chapter 24. Anna is quite unattractive. You could say that's very much a my opinion being put into the discussion prompt there. But would you agree? To me, quite unattractive. Discussion prompt number 2. What can Vronsky do about her insecurity and self-medicating? Coralette said, yikes. Before, I could at least understand what had upset her most of the time. But now, she's mad at things like Vronsky saying, ah, that's right, in a supposedly patronizing tone. I'm pretty sure she was projecting there. She knew she had been behaving childishly, so she imagined Vronsky was treating her like a child. Vronsky really can't win this situation. Every time he addresses one of Anna's complaints, she brings up something else he said previously that she's still upset about. Her need to suddenly move to the country without waiting 3 days is pretty ridiculous, but even when he gives in to that too, she isn't satisfied. I doubt there's anything he can do to salvage this. It's on Anna to change her own behavior. TA131901 said, yeah, I feel for Vronsky. He went from a nice but kind of superficial person flirting with Kitty nights out with his local, these louche pals, no intention to marry, to a man in a burdensome, can't live with her, can't live without her relationship, as difficult as marriage is, but worse, because it wasn't recognized or honored as marriage by society. Anna's social burden is worse because she is a woman, but it's not like Vronsky's life is great. He is psychologically ruined. Thermos of Beer said, I wonder if Tolstoy meant this as a cautionary tale to the women in an aristocracy, or more specifically to his own wife, that if you have an affair and leave me for another man, your life will be ruined. I will not grant you a divorce. I will take the children. Your friends will abandon you. Now, take some heroin and die. Charlotte said, I actually read it as a cautionary tale against the heavy stigmatization of divorce. People who end up in loveless marriages will have no way out, and by cutting off all normal social avenues, you push them to drugs and despair. I acknowledge that I am reading with some modern colored glasses here. Your interpretation sounds more likely. I think Tolstoy seems to keep a pretty even hand when dealing with things. I don't think you get too much of his opinion forced on you with his stories. I think he can make a fairly balanced story, which, you know, from one point of view is a cautionary tale about this, and from another point of view it's a cautionary tale about this, and like it's fairly empathetic to the both sides of the coin sort of thing. You can always figure out what his stance is usually, but he also pretty fairly represents the devil's advocate to whatever point he's trying to make, I think. More so than Dostoevsky, who is kind of like a spoon feed being shoved down your throat of what he wants to say. I Am Norwegian said, is it really over? This was the chapter where the last of my patience for Anna's shenanigans went up in smoke. I'm not sure there is anything Vronsky can do. Maybe push Anna towards the nearest local AA meeting. I did like how she started thinking about suicide, though, to console herself, morbidly enough. The way she thought about it seemed very true to life. Yeah, I sympathize for... I have sympathy for Anna because with the modern lens, we can see, like, she's in this position, which is very hard to get out of. We can see that the way out of it is she's got an addiction problem and she needs to break the addiction, and then her life will start to fall into place. We can see that. But we know about the nature of addiction now. We know the best way to treat it. We know how it plays out. And we know that even today when people feel like they're addicted to something, they might even be in denial about it. But when they try to think, oh, how am I going to get out of this mess that my life is? It's all, everything's bad. This relationship's ruined. Can't do anything bad. I'm stuck in this position. And they, even today, people think the only way out is suicide. Where it's because they don't want to admit to themselves that actually there is one other thing that could get me out of this, and it's probably harder than suicide, and that's to address an addiction, which I am very much relying on. So it's going to be a very difficult thing to push through the withdrawals of an addiction, which could feel like the only good thing in your life at that point, that addiction. But we today have, we know all that. And we even know when we're in denial about it and all the rest. Whereas back then, I don't. She probably has no idea about the nature of addiction and all these things and how to break it. So you can see why her brain, her mind, goes to suicide. With a modern lens, as unsympathetic as this sound, when she started saying that stuff, I was like, oh, just do it then. Like, in my head I was like, you're just screwing everyone over with your shitty selfish addiction. I know she's depressed, she's got postnatal depression and all the rest, so very unsympathetic. But in that moment of frustration, I was like, you really gonna now go to the suicide route? Like, I don't know, very, very unattractive. I recognize that I would never actually endorse that she does that, but I don't know, it just felt like a further act of selfishness, I suppose. Swim said the mum fishy said, okay, everybody, where is the compassion for Anna? Anyone? Yeah, I know. I think it's easy to not feel compassion for a fictional character as well. When I'm not that invested in her as a character. Like, she's, for the whole book, kind of, for me, been a bit frustrating of, like, you're just causing all these problems for yourself sort of thing. And so now, when she's at this point, it's like, I don't know, I don't feel that bad for her. Somastar says, I've been waiting for you guys to get to these chapters. I feel compassion for her. I get the exasperation. I do, but I also feel horrible for her. Girl has a super bad mental illness and no help for it. Yeah, actually, when you say that, when I remember, because I do tend to forget that, like, addiction is, I don't know if it's a mental illness, but it's a, well, I suppose it is. It's an ailment, you know. It's not something that you just choose, oh, I'm going to have an addiction for the hell of it. Yeah, when I think of it like that, I do feel bad for her. Lexi109 said, I feel compassion for her. Before I got on good brain meds, I would feel like everyone hated me and get crazy clingy and was a mess. Therapy plus good meds made such a huge difference. I feel for Anna because I think something is medically wrong. She has no friends or family or support and no way to get help. She wants to be calm and sane, but truly isn't capable of that. Yeah, well put. JMama8779 said, Anna is a runaway train. Won't be long now. Well. Poor Anna. Right. Never been at home in herself. Chapter 25 of Anna Karenina. Anna Trainwreck Karenina. Oh, God, it's a longie. I'm just flicking through to see how many pages it goes for. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.5. That's not that long. All right, chapter 25 goes like this. Deep breath. Feeling that they were entitled... That's my alarm going off. I don't know why I've got an alarm set for 12 p.m., but I do. Chapter 25. Feeling that they were entirely reconciled, next morning Anna began actively to make preparations for their move. Though it was not settled whether they would go on the Monday or the Tuesday, as each the night before had yielded to the other's wish, Anna made all ready for their start, feeling now quite indifferent whether they went a day sooner or later. She stood in her room before an open trunk, sorting clothes, when he came in earlier than usual and ready dressed. I will go to Maman at once. She can send me the money through Egorov. And I shall be ready to go tomorrow, said he. Good as the mood she was in might be, the reference to the move to the country pricked her. Oh no, I shall not be ready myself, she said, and immediately thought, so it was possible to arrange things as I wished. No, do as you wished too. Go to the dining room, I will come directly. I will only sort out these things that are not wanted, she said, placing some more articles on the heap of old clothes already piled up on Andushka's arms. Vronsky was eating his beefsteak when she entered the dining room. You would hardly believe how disgusting these rooms have become to me, she said, sitting down at her coffee beside him. There is nothing worse than these furnished apartments. They are expressionless and soulless. This clock, the curtains, and above all, the wallpapers. They're a nightmare. I think of Vorsitsensk as the promised land. You are not sending off the horses yet. No, they will follow us. Are you driving out anywhere? I wanted to go to the Wilsons to take her address. So it is decided that we go tomorrow, she said in a cheerful voice, and suddenly her face changed. Vronsky's valet came in to fetch a receipt for a telegram from Petersburg. There was nothing odd in his receiving a telegram, but as if wishing to hide something from her, he told the man that the receipt was in his study and hastily turned to her, saying, I shall certainly get everything ready tomorrow. From whom was the telegram? She asked, not listening to him. From Stiva, he replied, reluctantly. Why didn't you show it to me? What secret can Stiva have from me? Vronsky called back the valet and told him to bring the telegram. I did not wish to show it to you because Stiva has a passion for telegraphing. What is the use of telegraphing when nothing has been settled? About the divorce? Yes, but he wires, could get no answer, promises a decisive answer soon, but read it yourself. Anna took the telegram with trembling hands and saw exactly what Vronsky had said, but at the end where it added the words, little hope, but I'll do everything possible and impossible. I said yesterday that it is all the same to me when I get the divorce. Or even whether I get it at all, she said, flushing. There was no need at all to conceal it from me, and she thought, in the same way he may hide and is hiding from me his correspondence with women. Oh, Yashvin wanted to come this morning with Voitov, said Vronsky. It seems he has won from Pevstov. All and even more than Pevstov can pay, about 60,000 rubles. But why do you imagine, she said, irritated at his intimating to her so obviously by this change of subject that he saw she was losing her temper, that this news interests me so much that it is necessary to conceal it. I said that I don't want to think about it, and I wish that you were a little interested in it, as I am. It interests me because I like definiteness, he replied. Definiteness depends not on forms, but on love, she said, growing more and more irritated, not at his words, but at the tone of cool tranquillity with which he spoke. Why do you want it? Oh God, again about the love, he thought, with a wry face. Don't you know why? For your own sake, and for that of the children we may have, said he. We shan't have any. That's a great pity, he said. You want it for the children, but you don't think of me, she pursued, quite forgetting or not hearing that he said, for your own sake and for the children. The possibility of having children had long been a subject of dispute, and it irritated her. She explained his desire to have children as showing that he did not value her beauty. Oh, I said for your sake, most of all for your sake, he repeated, his face contorted with pain, because I am convinced that a great deal of your irritability is due to our indefinite position. Yes, there it is. Now he has stopped pretending, and all his cold hatred for me is apparent, she thought, not listening to his words, but gazing with horror at the cold and cruel judge who looked out of his eyes provokingly. That is not the reason, she said, and I can't even understand how what you call my irritability can be caused by that. I am entirely in your power. What indefiniteness of position is there? Quite the contrary. I am very sorry you don't wish to understand me, he interrupted, stubbornly intent on expressing his thought, The indefiniteness consists in your imagining that I'm free. You may be perfectly at rest on that matter, she rejoined, and turning away, she began to drink her coffee. She took her cup, sticking out her little finger, and raised it to her mouth. After a few sips, she glanced at him, and from the expression of his face clearly realized that her hand, her movement, and the sound made by her lips were repulsive to him. It is perfectly indifferent to me what your mother thinks and whom she wishes to marry you to, she went on, putting down her cup with trembling hands. But we are not talking about that. Yes, about that very thing, and believe me, a heartless woman, be she old or young, your mother or a stranger, does not interest me, and I don't want to have anything to do with her. Anna, I beg you not to speak disrespectfully of my mother. A woman whose heart has not divined wherein her son's happiness and honour lies has no heart. I repeat my request that you should not speak disrespectfully of my mother, whom I respect, said he, raising his voice and looking sternly at her. She did not reply, looking intently at his face and hands. She remembered their reconciliation the day before and his passionate caress in all her details. Just such caresses he has lavished and wants to lavish on other women, she thought. You don't love your mother. It's all words, 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 she said, looking at him with hatred. If that's so, we must decide, she said, and I have decided, and was about to go away, but just then, and she was about to go away, but just then, Yashvin entered. Anna said, good morning, and stopped. Why, when a storm was raging within her, and she felt that she was at a turning point which might lead to terrible consequences, why she need, at that moment, dissemble before a stranger who sooner or later would know all about it, she did not know. But immediately calming the storm within her, she sat down again and began talking to the visitor. Well, how are your affairs? Has the money been paid? Asked Yashvin. Oh, I don't know. I don't think I shall get it all, and on Wednesday I must go. And you? Asked Yashvin, looking at Vronsky with half-closed eyes and evidently divining that there had been a quarrel. The day after tomorrow, I believe, replied Vronsky. But you have been meaning to go for a long time past. Yes, but now it's decided, said Anna, looking straight into Vronsky's eyes with an expression that told him he must not think of the possibility of a reconciliation. Is it possible you are not sorry for that unfortunate Pestov? She said, continuing her conversation with Yashvin. I never asked myself, Anna Arkadyevna, whether I am sorry or not. You see, my whole fortune is here, and he pointed to a side pocket, and now I am a rich man, but I shall go to the club tonight and shall perhaps leave it a beggar. You see, he who sits down to play against me wishes to leave me without a shirt, and I treat him the same. So we struggle, and therein lies the pleasure. But supposing you were married, how would your wife feel about it? Asked Anna. Yashvin laughed. I expect that's why I never married and never meant to. How about Holstinsfors? Said Vronsky, joining in the conversation, and he glanced at Anna, who had smiled. Meeting his look, her face suddenly assumed a coldly severe expression, as if to say, it's not forgotten, it's still the same. Is it possible you were ever in love? She asked Yashvin. Oh, heavens, how many times. But you see, some men find it possible to sit down to cards and yet to be able to always to leave when the time comes for an assignation. Now I can engage in love-making, but always so as not to be late for cards in the evening. That's how I manage. No, I'm not asking about that, but about the real thing. She was going to say Helsingfors, but did not want to repeat that word Vronsky had used. Voitov, who was buying a horse from Vronsky, arrived, and Anna rose and left the room. Before leaving the house, Vronsky came to her room. She wished to pretend to be looking for something on the table, but feeling ashamed of the pretense, looked straight into his face with a cold expression. What do you want? She asked in French. Gambetta's certificate. I've sold him, he replied in a tone which said more clearly than words, I have no time for explanations, and they would lead to nothing. I am not at all in the wrong toward her, he thought. If she wants to punish herself, tant pis pour elle. So much for the worse for her. But as he was going out, he thought she said something, and suddenly his heart ached with pity for her. What, Anna? Nothing, she answered in the same cold, quiet manner. If it's nothing, then tant pis, he thought, again chilled. Turning away, he went out. As he was going out, he caught sight in a looking glass of her pale face and trembling lips. He even wished to stop and say a comforting word to her, but his legs carried him out of the room before he had thought of anything to say. All that day he spent away from home, and when he returned late at night, the maid told him that Anna Arkadyevna had a headache, and asked him not to go to her room. All right, there we go, another chapter down. Another chapter down. Have your say over at the Hemingway list. Get in quick, though, because I've just wasted the first 12 hours of the day with no discussion thread. So I'm expecting less comments today because of my own error. I apologize for that. Thanks for listening. I'll see you, later today.